At the White House, President Biden met with Democrats this morning. He's hoping to pass his $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package with as much bipartisan support as possible. On Capitol Hill, Republicans will meet behind closed doors. They're dealing with fractures in their party after last month's deadly riot in the Capitol building. And in the rotunda, Brian Sicknick, the Capitol police officer killed in the insurrection, was honored. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi delivered remarks.
We gather today united in grief, gratitude, and solemn appreciation for the service and sacrifice of Officer Brian Sicknick.
Our political strategists join us now. Jamal Simmons is a Democrat. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. And Matt Makowiak is a Republican. Hey there, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's pick up with that deadly riot that happened a month ago today and talk about how it has changed our politics since then. Matt, you first. What do you see changed over the past month?
Well, I mean, it's a historical event. I think there are going to be lots of consequences. I think probably the first one is we're going to see, we already have seen significant security changes at the Capitol. I think that's probably here to stay. That's probably a good thing. On top of that, I think you're going to see obviously much more focus on rhetoric used by political figures, no matter what side of the aisle that they're on. It's one thing to ferociously debate issues, to call questions about, a candidate's character or background or experience. It's another to do what we saw when that protest, which I think was peaceful initially, then had a offshoot that went to the Capitol and committed an insurrection at the Capitol. It's totally unacceptable. I'm glad we're seeing criminal prosecutions. It was just a horrible day for the country. I think in the last 100 years, you could make an argument it was the third worst day in the last 100 years in America after Pearl Harbor and 9/11. I don't even know that we fully know all the things that are going to change over the next few years.
Well, Jamal, I mean, do you share that optimism that the rhetoric might cool? We heard similar hopes after, say, the congressional baseball game shooting, and arguably things didn't really cool down.
It just doesn't seem as if Republicans are taking this as seriously as it was. I mean, and here we are, just a month after the biggest assault in American capital since 1812. And the person who's mostly responsible for calling it to order, inspiring it, fueling it, and then stopping the Defense Department or slowing the Defense Department down from responding to it, the president, former President Donald Trump, won't be held accountable by the Republicans who were under attack by the very mob that killed this officer. So I think that I don't have confidence, not because I don't think the majority of Americans don't want justice, not because I don't think there are even Republicans. There are Republicans who do want justice. I just think the majority of the Republican conference is not interested in pushing back on these conspiracies. And we see that now even with the Marjorie Taylor Greene problem.
Well, I want to pick that up. I think the ultimate test of the former president will be the impeachment trial, which, of course, begins next week. But to today's business first, Matt, I want to start with you because I'm wondering if the Republican Party is at an inflection point because of what happened. For example, today we have these sort of meetings to discuss the fates of two prominent now Republicans. First, there's Liz Cheney, the congresswoman from Wyoming, the number three Republican in the House. She is in danger of losing her leadership position in the caucus because she voted to impeach Trump for the riot. And then meanwhile, some other Republicans want to take away Marjorie Taylor Greene's committee assignments because she supports the kind of conspiracy theories that led to that riot. So how do you think things are going to play out?
Yeah, I think it's a smart framing by you that this is an inflection point, and we can continue to go down further into the abyss as a party, or we can right the ship. And look, you can strongly disagree with Liz Cheney's conclusion that impeachment was the appropriate vote. 10 members of the House conference chose to vote that way. It was a vote of conscience. Her vote didn't sway any other votes, probably. It might have provided a little bit of cover. The question is, can she remain a conference chair, which is basically a communications role, having voted on a consequential vote, with a very small minority of her conference? The Marjorie Taylor Greene question to me is really an easy one. I don't even understand why they haven't stripped her of her committees already, gotten ahead of this, made clear they're not going to support someone like this who said insane things, continues to say insane things, doesn't reflect the Republican Party, and isn't even conservative as far as I'm concerned. It looks like it is going to go to a House floor vote because the Republicans aren't moving fast enough. And so that's a shame. It's a missed opportunity. We're going to learn some hard lessons, I think, over the next few months. We obviously are going to oppose a lot of what Biden's trying to do. We're going to call out some of these executive orders. We're not going to support, left-wing agenda, and that's all, entirely appropriate. But But we have got to right our ship as a party if we're going to get back to winning elections and win back the White House, win back the House in 2022, win back the Senate majority. We have to start that work now. And the longer we wait, the harder it'll be.
You know, I think one one of the things that will help Matt's point here with the Republicans that he's trying to hold on to the Republican Party and not lose it to the QAnon group is the pro-democracy Republicans, the people who believe in the fundamental tenets of our American democracy and are willing to stand up for it. They've got to not just become an anti-Biden party. And that doesn't mean that they have to sign on everything Joe Biden wants to do. But it would be refreshing and nice to see what we saw with these Republican senators this week around the COVID plan. Offer conservative ideas to fix America's problems. Biden gets to set the agenda.
Yeah.
Biden gets to offer what's happening. But offer some conservative ideas, and then let's have a negotiation or even a fight about those ideas. But let's not just go automatically no to everything Biden tries to do.
I do want to get back, though, and I'm glad you jumped in there, Jamal, but I want to get both of you on this question about the sort of state of the Republican Party in the sense that, Matt, I hear you and take your point about Marjorie Taylor Greene sort of being on the fringe. I think that most of your party would not line up behind her. But we did see a Pew poll just yesterday that I thought was eye-opening. 58% of Republicans said they believe white people are going to lose influence under the Biden administration. So there is this sort of fear that white people are somehow threatened right now. What does your party do about that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I think if you look at just the demographic makeup of the vote that both parties get, I mean, Democrats have often pretty consistently relied on a larger share of the minority vote than Republicans have, and the minority vote is growing. If you look at the demographics of the country, in Texas, where I live, you know, we're a majority-minority state at this point, and Hispanics are not just the plurality. They're going to be the majority in the next 10 to 15 years. You know, as a Republican Party, I think we need to embrace that. President Trump and Republicans down ballot did great with Hispanic voters, particularly in South Texas and South Florida in November of 2020. You know, we need to embrace those communities, connect with them on cultural issues, connect with them on pro-life and hard work and strong families and those issues. So I don't like to see questions that get asked or where people think one race benefits or another race, you know, doesn't benefit. Yeah, we all have to start viewing ourselves as Americans and stop looking at all these issues through the racial lens. I think people are kind of tired of race dominating everything, every minute of every day. Race isn't the only issue. It's not that it's an insignificant issue. It's not that there are racial disparities we should try to fix. Not that it's not our original sin as Americans. But I hate to kind of frame it that way where we look at this just to the issue of race. The question is, are Americans going to benefit or not from Joe Biden's policies? Right? That's the only question that matters.
And I don't think anyone cares. Go ahead, Jamal. I just want to get you on that point, too.
Yeah, I mean, I nobody would love to get race out of the question more than black people. And I think the people who are on the receiving end of some of the trouble. But I think what we got to look at is not just the aggregate of the benefit. The problem in America isn't that we're creating enough wealth. The core problem is, how do we disaggregate that? How do we distribute the wealth? Who gets to participate in the wealth? And I think when you're looking around, you know, the CEO suite, and only 3.2% of C-suite executives are African American, I think that's the kind of thing where people say, well, maybe we need to talk about race a little bit. So, or you look at the fact that black suspects are 2.5 times more likely to be killed by police officers than white suspects. Maybe we got to look at race a little bit. So I do think what is interesting in the poll, the Pew poll, is that the plurality of people think that there will be no change for whites. Even though the majority think there will be an increase of influence for blacks and Hispanics, the plurality of voters say there will be no change for whites. I think what is a little concerning is that 44% of whites, almost even, think that whites are going to lose influence. And it's that cohort, it's that group of people who are concerned, but even white Democrats and white conservatives have to talk to about what America will look like in the future when it becomes a more diverse country. White people will still have a place, and black and Latinos and Asian Americans will grow, but white people will still have a future in this country. And that's the thing that Donald Trump has been talking about very openly and has been infuriating and inflaming this kind of sentiment. That's what people who don't believe Trump's path is the right one, they've got to come up with an alternative one.
Sure. And as we see some of those disparities, they've played out during the pandemic, of course. So I do want to ask about the COVID relief bill in the moments that we have left. And after this meeting at the White House this morning, the Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said they're united on this big, bold relief package. What I'm wondering, Jamal, though, is couldn't the president sort of try to have it both ways, where he could take a deal from Republicans, and then if he needs to, he could push through other things on a party line vote through the budget reconciliation process later?
I'm all for Joe Biden negotiating with Republicans and trying to get a deal that would get to 60 Republicans getting through the filibuster, even if they all don't vote for final passage. Because I think that's good for the democracy. But Joe Biden should not delay getting aid to Americans as fast as possible and as much as possible if the Republicans are dilly-dallying and not being serious about closing a deal.
And Matt, just a few seconds, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, when I hear delay, I think back to Pelosi, holding up stimulus throughout the election because she thought it benefited her, knowing her bill could never get 60 votes in the Senate. It would be a good thing on an issue this important that we did get a 60-vote threshold. We have bipartisan support, and the person to watch is Joe Manchin, and he was not at the White House today, and I don't understand why he wasn't there.
Yeah, key vote there, the Democrat from West Virginia. That's Matt Mikowiak, Republican strategist, and Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist. Thank you both, gentlemen.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.